Good morning. Can you hear me? All right. Let me make sure this microphone's working. Ah, what a great time of year it is. Arizona sports are thriving. Well, yeah, I won't. ASU did all right, right? Football season is about to start. Excited for the Cardinals. Excited for the Suns, the Diamondbacks. They're doing well, right? Just so that you know, Pastor Terry will be back next week. You can cheer. It's okay. Okay? He will be back from his well-deserved sabbatical. And I know he's been missing each and every one of you. He's really looking forward to coming back and sharing God's Word with all of us. But I wanted to thank you. Just for these past few weeks, for you being here, for allowing me to share God's Word with each one of you. And I thank you for those of you that it's your first time today. Welcome to Northwest Chinese Baptist Church. I'm so glad that you are here. Well, let's pray. Please join me in another word of prayer. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this beautiful morning that we can gather here to worship you, to learn more about you, to study your Word together. God, thank you for the friends that have come, the brothers and sisters in Christ, our new friends that are joining us for the very first time. God, thank you because I know it's you that has brought all of us here. And God, we're here for you. And so I ask God that you would open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts to your Holy Spirit, open us up to your Word. God, help us to understand it. And God, I pray that we would leave here changed, that we would leave here encouraged, that we would leave here with a desire, God, to live out your Word and live out your command to love one another just as you have loved us. And God, may we live in light of who we really are, our true identity in Jesus Christ. And so I thank you and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, I'm a pastor. And so, being a pastor and even just being involved in church community, family. I get a lot of prayer requests. And, I attend the prayer meetings. I try to attend. And, both Chinese speak, I don't attend the Chinese speaking because I don't speak Chinese, but they have prayer meetings. English side, we have prayer meetings as well. And, a lot of people just individually ask me to pray for them and with them. And I'm not going to share anyone's name or anything like that, but these are some of the things that we're praying for right now. We're praying for people that are sick, that they would be healed. We're praying for those that have cancer. We're praying for those that have some terminal illness. We're praying for marriages to be healed and reconciled. We're praying for those that are in financial trouble, that need help. We're praying for families that are broken. We're praying for people that are depressed. We're praying for people who feel that like nobody cares about them. We're praying for people who feel all alone. You see, and all of these needs are people that are in our church. All of these needs come from fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And so here's the reality, right? In Christ's body, people are hurting deeply. People are broken. People need help. And so here's a question for you. Why are there so many people desperately hurting and in need of love? And yet there's so many people, other people, who are willing and wanting to give love. Yet why are so few actually getting loved? We have a great need. And yet we have a great resource. See, a lot of people don't get love because there's a missing link. There's a missing link between people needing love and people being loved. And do you want to know what that missing link is? Six words come from Romans chapter 12, verse 5. Six words. You are members of one another. Is that six words? You are members of one another. That's the link between huge need and help. What does it mean? You are members of one another. It means that we belong to one another. And here's the main point for this morning. And it's there. You have an outline there if you'd like to follow an outline. It's in your bulletin. The main point this morning is to fulfill Jesus' command to love one another as He loved us, just like we've been studying about. Right? The new command that Jesus gave to love just like He loved. If we want to fulfill this command, if we want to live in obedience to this command, it demands that we understand our membership and function in His supernatural community. To understand our membership and function in His supernatural community. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about you and me, brothers and sisters in Christ, the body of Christ. I'm not talking about the building. See, if you understand who you are in membership and you understand your function, then that changes everything. If we realize that we are, in fact, the supernatural community, if we realize as a supernatural community the things we have in common, and we live life in this supernatural community, it will transform our lives, it will transform this church. You see, Jesus commands us, right, to love one another, just as He loves. But where does this love come from? How can we love in this way? And I want to answer two questions this morning. Number one, what makes the church a supernatural community? And secondly, I want to answer the question, if this is true, how then do we function as a supernatural community? But the first thing we got to understand is that we are a supernatural community in Christ. And I want to point your attention to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. Now, obviously, Acts chapter 1 is before Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is the beginning of the New Testament church, where the church explodes. All right, and the Holy Spirit comes down and indwells the believers. And so Acts chapter 1 is kind of this behind-the-scenes look, setting up chapter 2, the start of the New Testament church. And I want to make three observations in Acts chapter 1. I want to start in verses 1 through 3. So what makes this community, this body of Christ, what makes it supernatural? It has a supernatural origin. It has a supernatural origin. Look at Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And this is Luke writing, okay? In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day He was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles He had chosen. After His suffering, He showed Himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that He was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and He spoke about the kingdom of God. There's four phrases I want you to circle or underline if you like to do that sort of thing in your outline. Underline or circle, giving instructions. Circle chosen. Circle convincing proofs. And circle a period of 40 days. So in this passage here, when we look at it, we see that Luke is writing, and he's telling his fellow brother Theophilus the background, referring to his book, previously the book of Luke, talking about the life and the ministry of Jesus. And in verse 3, highlighting, you know, Jesus died and rose from the dead, he further explained that Jesus was giving the disciples His plan of what He was going to do before He ascended to heaven. And so you look at those four phrases. You see, what makes this a supernatural community? What makes this? What is our supernatural origin? Look in verse 1, giving instruction. It began with a divine command from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The resurrected Christ, Jesus, He specifically gave these instructions to His followers. And secondly, chosen group. He specifically chose us. He chose them. Had a specific calling. He called them out to do what He had created them to do. Not only that, there were many convincing proofs. Proof. There was convincing proof. The disciples risking their lives, right? Risking their lives under persecution to share Jesus with the world. Not only that, but within those 40 days, there were many miracles that Jesus performed. Why did He do this? To show people that He was for real. To show people that He was the Savior, that He was God. Not only that, but you look at, there was over this period of 40 days,
This happened in real time. This actually happened in Jerusalem. Jesus actually walked and talked. People could see Him. People could hear Jesus. People could touch Jesus. And dear friends, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you are a part of the supernatural community because it has a supernatural origin. Let me put it this way. You guys know you are also part of another supernatural community. Your family. How many of you have a family? Everybody has a family, okay? Or at least we came from somewhere. I'm not asking if you spend time with your family. You are a part of a family. Okay? Mom, dad, sister, brother. Do you feel an obligation to your family? A responsibility towards your family? I will tell you this, for me, personally. If I ever heard or I found out that my wife Debbie or any one of my three children was in need or needed some kind of help, I would drop everything and go and help them. I would do whatever it takes to go and provide for their need. Now, I'm not saying like if my daughter asked for a piece of candy, I'm going to drop everything and go get candy and give it to her. I'm talking about if they're in dire need, okay, or in some kind of danger, I would do everything within my power to help them. I would go, I would drop everything, I would leave this sermon, I would go. Why? Why would I do that? Because we have this common origin. We are a family. Right? But what about your brother and sister in Christ sitting next to you this morning? Did you know that we have even a greater responsibility and a greater obligation towards our brothers and sisters in Christ? To our family in Christ? Did you know that? That our bonds are deeper and stronger than blood? Because of the bond we share in Jesus Christ. And it's because we have this common origin in Jesus Christ. That's hard to even fathom. Because it's easy to say that, right? Our bond in Christ should be stronger than our bond with our biological families. Because it's even hard for me to live like that. But that's who God created us to be. That's one of the benefits of what Jesus has done for us on the cross through His death and resurrection. We have this supernatural origin. And not only that, but we have this supernatural agenda. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 7 now. On one occasion while He was eating with them, He gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they meet together, they asked Him, when they met together, "Lord, are You at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by His own authority." Look at what's going on here in this passage. Jesus' closest followers, the disciples, they were wondering if Jesus' plan would accomplish their own plans. See, they're wondering, "Jesus, are You going to restore power to Israel?" You remember, Israel was oppressed and exiled and all that. And they were asking, right? "Are You going to restore power to Israel? Are You going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" But see, Jesus had different plans. Jesus had different plans. Jesus was talking about what? The kingdom of God. Now, what is the kingdom of God? What is God's kingdom? The kingdom of God is when God's rulership reigns. God's rule over all creation. When God rules and His will is being accomplished. What is the kingdom of God? It's when people are rightly related to God. And it's when people are rightly related to one another. It's people, followers of Jesus, reaching out in love to those that are not right with God, bringing them into His kingdom. You see, brothers and sisters, we have the supernatural agenda and we have a mission. Our mission, right? Love God, love people, serve others. It's in obedience to Christ. How many of you have formed extremely close bonds in human communities? How many of you have some really close bonds with other human beings? All of you, okay? Most of you. Some of you, okay? How many of you have ever been on a team? Raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand. How many of you have been on some kind type of team? I'm not talking about just sports. It could be music. It could be work. It could be any kind of team. what happens on a team. And I'll share this with you. Some of the closest relationships that I have with people are people that I've been on a team with. Whether it's coworkers or my bowling team back in the day, you remember that? Okay. Why? Why do people get so close to their team members? It's because they have a common agenda. All right, as I shared before, football season is starting, right? And being a football fan, I hear all these stories, right? There's always stories about how these tough football players, they're in the middle of a game, and they get hurt, they get injured, but they will do whatever they can to stay in the game, right? They're hurt, you know, their arm's falling off, but they're like, "Coach, just take me up, I'm going back in the game." Why is that? Why is that? You know, and they say it's because we are on this team and we're in this together, and I don't want to let my team down, right? I don't want to let my team down. You see, when you have an agenda or a mission together that is bigger than yourself and you buy into it from your heart, it produces incredible bonds. We have a mission, right? Just like professional football players, what's their ultimate goal? To win the Super Bowl, right? Well, what about the body of Christ? What about you and me, brothers, sisters? What is our mission? See, we have a mission, right, that is bigger than winning the Super Bowl. We have a mission that is much greater than winning the Super Bowl. Our mission, right, is to reach the lost people in Phoenix, in Arizona, in the United States of America, all throughout the world, right? We are a family, we are a team with a supernatural origin, a supernatural agenda, and we must function as a team. Each of us must do our part. How about this? Those of you that have been on a sports team or some kind of performance team, how do you feel about a member that doesn't show up to practice, but they just show up for the game? All that hard work that you put in during the week and they just show up in game time. How much do those people usually get to play if they skip practice? I'm not talking about the superstars that are good. Okay, that's an exception maybe. But even then, right? How much do those people get to play in a game if they don't show up to practice? Not very much. How much of a part do they feel as part of the team if they never show up to practice? Not very much. How much do I feel close to them if they never show up? I'm not very close. Who usually has the worst attitude on a team? I will argue that a lot of times it's those that are sitting on the bench. And I know this all too well, okay, because I've been on the bench a lot. And actually, I haven't been on the bench, I've been in the stands because I couldn't even make it on the bench, okay? But you know how that goes, right? I'm in the stands, and I'm the coach. You should be doing that. Oh, why aren't you guys doing this? Oh, you could have done better. Why couldn't that guy just do that? Oh, you need to be running this play. I know everything. Right? People... So where do most problems come from in the church? Where do most problems come from in the church? From people that are just sitting on the bench. Sitting on the sidelines. I'm not talking about physical ability. I'm talking about those of us, and I've been there myself, those of us who may have this unconscious consumer mentality that we come to church to get, that the church exists to feed me, the church, and why doesn't the church have this? Why doesn't the church do this for me? Oh, I can't believe the church, they changed the music. It was too loud last week. It was too quiet the week after that. The church didn't have any filtered water for me to drink today. I had to drink out of a water fountain. The youth are having pizza for lunch again? I'm tired of pizza. This church stinks. Do you know why this happens? It's because they don't have the same agenda. In Christ, we have a supernatural origin, we have a supernatural agenda. And third, we have a supernatural power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, right? Phoenix, Arizona, United States, to the ends of the world. You will be Jesus' witnesses. We will be Jesus' witnesses. Jesus is all powerful and totally in control. And here He's telling them, you, my followers, my children, you will be my witnesses in all of the world. Start where you are and go from there. Share the good news. Share. Tell people about what you've seen and what you've heard about me. And here's a cool thing about being a Christian, if you didn't know. Did you guys know that as a Christian, when you put your faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit of God indwells you, guiding you, strengthening you, encouraging you, giving you everything you need to do everything God has created and gifted you to do. All that through the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that performed all of these miracles in you and in me. Community offers bonding through team. Community brings about loyalty through the concept of having power. And let me explain this a little bit. Human institutions, right? We're a part of a lot of human institutions that provide community. And a lot of us enjoy these institutions, whether it's family groups, teams, clubs that we're involved in. There's giving, there's receiving, there's loyalty, there's commitment. You see, but a lot of the things we're involved in this world, it's just human stuff. And you guys might be able to... How many of you are Costco members? There's power in being a Costco member. We have the power to buy in bulk, right? We enjoy that. We're all together in this. Costco is amazing, right? Okay, see, you're all a part of a team. If you didn't raise your hand before and you're a member of Costco, we're part of the Costco team. Okay? But that's just human stuff. You and I, brothers and sisters, we're a member of the supernatural community, the supernatural origin, agenda, and power. And if you believe this, that it's true about us, that we have this supernatural origin, agenda, and power, if you believe this, doesn't that change everything about how you see life and about how you look at church? Shouldn't that change how we see life, how we live life, and how we function as a church? It changes everything, because when we believe this, we'll stop looking for what the church can do for us. I'm not saying the church doesn't do things for us. There are so many benefits of being a part of a local family in Christ. But we'll stop looking for that. Just, what can you do for me, church? We'll stop doing that and we'll start looking for what we can do for others. And when we understand this truth, we'll look for what God can do in and through us for His mission, for His kingdom. See, we are members of one another. We belong. You belong. You are members of one another. And so here's the challenging part. Right? It's easy to talk about. It's easy to say, this is the truth. This is what God's Word says. We should be different. The truth is that we aren't experiencing the supernatural community in our relationships like we should and like we would like. And so I want to point you to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. How then do we experience this supernatural community? What helps us to develop this authentic Christian community? And so there's three things in Romans chapter 12 that I want to just briefly share with you. All right? Romans chapter 12 verse 3, it says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." And so what helps us to develop authentic Christian community? Well, possessing an accurate view of ourselves. And the key word here is humility. The key word is humility. Having a proper perspective of yourself is humility. Not thinking less of yourself, not devaluing yourself, that's not humility. Humility is having an accurate view of who you are. It's arrogant to act like everything's okay all the time. Because the truth is, and we already know, everything's not okay all the time. This world is broken. We are broken in our flesh. It's arrogance even to know that you have certain strengths and talents given to you by God, but then to downplay it. Like if I were good at something, like if I was amazing at math, all right? And these students come up to me who have trouble with math and say, "Pastor Steve, I know you're really good at math. Please help me." Okay? Because you took calculus level 1000, okay? Which I didn't, okay? I didn't make it to level 1, okay? Or pre-calc. I made it to pre-calc. But I was horrible, all right? But it's like them coming to me and I'm really good at math and me saying, "Oh, I'm not that good at math. I can't help you with your homework." Not because I'm lazy, but I'm really trying to be humble. I'm not that great at math, guys. It would be like that. That's arrogance. Humility is having the right understanding of yourself, knowing, you realizing your strengths, how God has gifted you, being thankful for those things, but also being thankful and realizing your weaknesses and limitations. That's humility. Humility allows us, here's the cool thing about humility, it allows us to be vulnerable. Now, I know that's not high on your priority to be vulnerable. All right, a lot of times we associate vulnerability to weakness. But that's not the case here, brothers and sisters. Humility allows us to be vulnerable. Because it's like this. When we're humble, we're able to say, "Yes, I can do this. I am good at this. My strength is this. But here, these are my limitations. This is what I'm not that great at. This is what I can't do. And I want to let you know that I need help in this area, but I can help you in this area." That's humility, knowing who you are. And here's the cool thing about vulnerability. Vulnerability opens up the door for us to receive love. Vulnerability opens up the door for us to actually receive love. Right? Everything's not okay. I am not the best at everything. I don't have everything in control. But I can do this. But I need help with this. If you need help, right, someone has to help you. Humility leads to vulnerability, and vulnerability leads for you to actually experience love. The love of Jesus Christ. Because if you really think about our condition apart from Christ, like we've talked about a few weeks ago, we realized that we needed Jesus. And Jesus was the only one that could help us. And He can't help us unless we receive His help. So don't think you're too tough to be vulnerable. Because hopefully you're not too tough to think that you need Jesus. What helps us to develop authentic Christian community? Number two, nurturing a healthy appreciation for others. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 through 5. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. The key word here is thankfulness. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that you don't have to do everything by yourself. But we need to figure out who we are, figure out how God has gifted you, and we need to do our part. You, me, we need to do our part. And I thank God that He didn't create all of us the same. Alright, don't you? We each have gifts and talents, and we're to use those to do the work that He's created us to do. And if you need proof, just ask my wife Debbie. Alright, I'm sure she would be the first one to tell you that she's thankful that there's only one Stephen Yee in the world. Because she couldn't put up with two Stephen Yees. She would go crazy. Did you say amen? Don't say amen. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, no, yeah. See, we need each other. We need each other! When we understand that this is how God made us as the church, we become thankful. When we realize that we're not meant to do this alone, but each of us serve a specific role and part, and we have a specific responsibility, and without us doing our part, we're struggling and we're dying and we're disabled as a church. See, we understand that we need each other. We understand that God made us differently, and we rejoice in that fact. We become thankful for our differences, our different strengths, even become thankful for our different weaknesses. But that's the thing, we have to figure out how God made us and how God wired us so that we can function. And here's the last point. How do we develop authentic community? By practicing a loyal allegiance to one another. Practicing a loyal allegiance to one another. Romans chapter 12, the second part of verse 5. Right? I'm going to repeat it again. I already read it before. It says, and each member belongs to all the others. Each member belongs to all the others. The key word here is commitment. You and I, we belong to other people in this church. And dear brothers and sisters, I don't want you to get me wrong. I'm not standing up here this morning asking you to try harder. I'm not asking you to do more. This passage actually is talking about commitment. And you think about what's Jesus' message here. Jesus is all about, it's all about how He knew our deepest need and He provided for our greatest need. You and I were part of this supernatural community. Jesus has given us this life. He's created us. Given us this life, and He's created us to live. And He's commanded and called us to love like Him. Right? This new command I give you, love one another just like I have loved you. We are no ordinary community here at Northwest Chinese Baptist Church. And I'm not talking about in a weird and quirky way. We are supernatural. Because our God is alive and well. He is working, He has a plan, and He indwells each one of us. And He gives us everything that He needs to do the things that He prepared in advance before time began for us to do. And so there's three things that I want to encourage you as just application real quick. I want us to remember that no individual Christian can function effectively by themselves. No individual Christian can function effectively by themselves. Do you find yourself as a lone ranger? If you don't know, maybe answer this question. Who is your spiritual family? Who are those people that would give you a call or come knock on your door if you did not show up one Sunday? If you don't have those people in your life, then it is time to extend your hand in love. To open yourself up, to pray and ask God, I pray that You would bring people into my life, that You would allow me, help me to be a person in someone else's life. Help me to be a brother. Help me to be a sister. Help me to love someone. Start with one person. Help me to love one brother or sister like You love me. And you know where that starts? It starts by having a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, friends that are here that aren't Christians, if you have not put your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you are not a part of this supernatural community. I welcome you as a friend, you are my friend, but you are not a part of this supernatural family apart from Christ. And a second application, no member of this supernatural community is more or less important than the other. And another question is, do you know your part? Are you doing your part? And if you don't know, talk to somebody. Come talk to me. I'd love to talk with you and walk with you and help you find out how God has molded you and given you and gifted you the talents and strengths and how you can serve Him inside this family and outside of this family. And that's why I'm so excited about this new responsibility that I have to kind of lead our church in serving others. I'm excited for us to embrace how God made us. And I'm excited for how each of us are going to use our gifts and how God is going to work through that obedience to change the world, to change our community, to change our families. And lastly, we must get connected in real life, authentic relationships if we want to experience the reality that we are members of one another. We must get connected in real life, authentic relationships if we want to experience the reality that we are members of one another. And so I ask you, brothers and sisters, are you in consistent fellowship with the family of God? Are you in a small group? Do you attend Bible study? Do we study the Bible together as brothers and sisters? And I challenge you, make it a priority. Be present. Be committed. I understand there are a lot of commitments in this world. But let us remember, yes, we are citizens of the United States of America, but above that, we are citizens of the Kingdom of God. How do we live that priority? And it's a struggle for me. It's a struggle for me to figure out, well, how do I love others the same way that I love my biological family? Because if I compare the two, I love my family this way, do I love you guys this way? And if I was honest, I would say no. Will you take God's word seriously? Why aren't more people getting loved in the midst of all of these needs? It's because we as the church, we have to grasp our membership in this supernatural community. And when we do that, brothers and sisters, when we grasp our membership and identity as a supernatural community in Christ, then we will see God do great things in this church and in each of our lives. Not saying that God hasn't done things already, but when we do this, we will see a difference. And so I want to invite you to pray with me. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this time. God, thank you for your word. God, thank you for the new life that we have in your Son, Jesus. And God, I pray for my dear friends here. I pray that if there's someone here that has not acknowledged Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they would do that today, that they wouldn't wait. That as we sing, God, that they would simply pray and just talk to you silently, God, and just acknowledge, God, I realize I need you. I need Jesus. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not perfect. And I realize Jesus died for me on the cross and shed His blood. And He rose from the dead. And that He's forgiven me of my sin. And God, I want to follow Jesus. I want Jesus to be not only my Savior, but I want Jesus to be my Lord. And I want you to know, friends, if that's your decision, and you want to pray that and acknowledge that here in the presence of God and amongst friends, I want you to know that if you've acknowledged that, you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are saved, you are forgiven, and you are now a part of this supernatural community here at Northwest Chinese Baptist Church. And for you, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe you forgot that there is so many things that are different about you in Christ, that you're no longer of this world, but now you are in Christ and you are a part of this amazing community, supernatural in origin, agenda, and power. And you want to live out this life to the fullest. You want to live it out in love, sharing the love of Jesus Christ. Maybe there's some specific way that God is leading you to do that. And I want to invite you today, if you made some decision or God is leading you in a certain way, allow me to pray for you, to pray with you, to celebrate with you, if you would come forward while we sing. And God, we thank you. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for never changing. Thank you for the hope that we have in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand as we have this time of response. If God is leading you to make some decision, I want to invite you to come and just share with me so that I can pray with you as we sing.